Okay.
I had to do a sound check, a recording check to make sure everything was working right.
No problem.
How come I'm not?
And if we
Oh, I see what I'm doing wrong. Okay. Say again.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good.
Wow, I'm excited. I'm excited. I am what I want to be. That's the bottom line. I am what I want to be. That's one of the things about this. You put the microphone in front of somebody and it's like, guess what, buddy? Ante up.
Yes,
Yep,
sir.
you better ante up because it's time to perform. I was preaching Sunday night and I was talking about believers' call to commitment, and I used this illustration from an inter from a segment from an interview of a man named Jimmy John Jimmy Jammin' Jimmy Jammin' Jimmy, something like that. I don't know what his name was, and he was a musician, a keyboardist for Prince, and so he had just joined the team, I guess, and they were doing a take for one of his songs. And Prince says to Jimmy Jam, that's his name. He says to Jimmy Jam, he said, what are you doing with your right hand? And he was just playing, like a beat with the left hand, some kind of melody, some kind of, accompaniment or whatever. He
Right.
said, I'm not doing anything with my right hand. He said, why don't you put some melody in there with the right hand? And then a little bit further into the gig, he's like, Jimmy Jam, what are you doing with the chorus singing, like part of the song? He was like, Prince, I'm not doing anything with the chorus. He said, well, it's a three-part harmony. It shouldn't be hard for you to kind of fill in some notes in there, right? So now he's doing both hands and he's playing in the chorus. And then the next day he comes in and Prince is like, hey, Jimmy Jam, what are you doing with the choreography? And Jimmy Jam's like, I'm not doing anything with the choreography. And he's like, it's a real four, it's a four beat tempo. You should be able to kind of like get in and do something with the choreography. So he was doing it and he's like overwhelmed, right? At first he was overwhelmed. He's like, how am I gonna do all of this? And he just did, he got in, he did it. And then eventually he was doing it so good that he was able to like reach in his pocket, pull out his hanky and wipe sweat off, and tip his hat and stuff. And the moral of the story was that Prince saw more in him than he had saw in himself. And he was like, this is my production. You're going to up your game. Right.
I saw that video. I saw that video where he was doing that, and Jimmy Jam was just going through each one of those iterations, where Prince just seems to be piling on him,
Yeah.
and just giving him minimal reasons, if any reasons at all, just minimal reasons, and pushed the man beyond what he thought were his own limitations. He had his own mind boxed in of what he was capable of doing.
Yeah.
And Prince, take him or leave him for whatever he was.
Right.
Prince pushed him past that, and it showed that man that he himself was capable of doing so much more than just playing on that keyboard. He was doing all this other stuff, and he marveled at that. He marveled at himself. I loved listening to him give his take on that, because I've lived similar things, just certainly not in the music environment. Necessarily, but just, well, I won't even say in life in general, but I would definitely say in the course of the ministry, you get to thinking one thing: this is my box, this is where I'm supposed to be, this is what I do, and don't push me outside of that, don't try to push me outside of that. But then something pushes you outside of that, the demands, the needs of the of what needs to happen in the course of a service, or just in the course of pastoring a church, or just getting something done or whatever. And if you'll just let yourself be pushed by the necessity beyond what you think your limitations are, you actually find that your limitations are way broader than you ever thought. Yes, sir. I loved that. I loved that. I think you sent it to me.
Oh, did I? Oh, that's probably
Yes,
so.
sir. You did.
I
That
like
was
that kind of stuff.
great.
If I see stuff like that, I share it. And then people are like, oh man, another video from Chris. And I don't want to watch this video. What is it? Is it a car doing donuts in the parking lot? I don't think I send people those. I don't think I do. Unless
No, I
they're
don't think so.
really, really good. Unless they're really good.
Yeah, it's got to be something special.
I did not go to conference, obviously, and you did. Fill me in.
It was wonderful. The theme was pretty straightforward, but I think themes ought to be straightforward. And it was all about, well, it was breakout. The theme of the conference was breakout or breaking out. And so the messages were most, if not all of them, were oriented directly towards that. And of course, it's much of it is breaking out of what you perceive your limitations to be, breaking
There
out
you go.
of your old ways of thinking, breaking out of inaction. I did take notes. I don't have them in front of me, but they were it was a very, very good conference, and we got to hear from Pastor Keckel, of course. Pastor Kinson preached one of the messages, one of the breakout messages. Pastor Devonshire, I'm trying to just recount my way through the whole thing, but there were
Yeah, sure.
messages by several men of God, and they were all ex exceptional. They were all exceptional, and the worship was great. Usually, I judge the. This is probably not a good thing. I'm not really in the habit of judging our conferences, so what I end up judging is the weather. It was hot. It was uncomfortably warm, and the humidity was up, but it wasn't especially bad, and it was worth every bit.
Every inconvenience, yeah.
It was worth every inconvenience. I'm not saying that just to
I
toe
understand,
the company line, but it really, really was, and as it always is. And they did make some rudimentary announcements about expanding the expanding rudimentary. That's probably not the right word. They did make some announcements about expanding the campground and adding more buildings for lodging, and just it really was just it was a whole train of good news throughout the conference. Good news, one good report after another.
That's good.
Opening new works, reopening Guam. And then of course we topped it off with an ordination service at the very
Yeah, I
end,
heard
on
that.
Thursday night. So that was all good. That was every bit of it good.
That's awesome. That's
And
awesome.
folks praying for healing and needing healing and all of that. So while I can't point to any one thing and say that, this was the great fireworks event of it, I can say that needs were met and then some.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm trying to think of something. I was thinking about this earlier. I don't know how we would go about doing it. It's obviously not going to happen in this podcast, but having something else going on in the show. To kind of spark conversation or whatever, like, I don't know, a game or something to kind of like generate conversation. You know what I mean? Does that make sense to
Okay.
you or you're drawing a
I'm trying
blank.
to make. Go ahead.
Well, I know that there was, I saw this really interesting video of these guys that they were playing Monopoly. Right, but somebody took the game and put a communist spin on it, as if you could put a communist spin on Monopoly because you're buying property, but they still had to buy property. But it was interesting, like some of the house rules that they laid down, like you start with $1,000 And if you ever have more than $1,000, you go straight to jail.
Oh my goodness.
And he said the person, I guess the person who ends with the least amount of money or something without going under wins or what. It was really crazy. And then they they changed the cards up, right? So like chance became no chance. And it was just it was kind of funny the way that they put a communist spin on the game, and
That sounds like a pretty good spin.
no joke, right? Exactly, because it's a game to begin with, and then on top of it's educational. So instead of go on the board, it had stoy, which is Russian for stop, right? And the deal was is that you only get $200 if you land on stoy, right? If you pass
Okay.
stoy, you got to pay the government $50. There's no
Oh, I
bank.
love it.
You
I
pay the
love it.
government $50.
That's hilarious.
And
That is just darkly
it
hilarious.
is. No, it's seriously darkly hilarious. There was something about free parking where you could launder money to the West. You could launder money to the West. And I didn't understand all the rules. It was just hilarious though, all of the likenesses or whatever. And then when they started the show, the guy that was their like guest host or whatever, he was dressed up like Stalin, right? And so
Naturally.
both of them start applauding him, and one of them goes, "Which one of us is going to stop first?"
Oh my goodness.
You heard about that story about that guy who got executed for being the first person to stop applauding Stalin.
You know what? I might have. I
Yeah.
might have.
I don't know if he was executed or sent to prison. It was one of the two.
Well, that of course sparks a memory of it was this French, of course, it was French, journalist who was, I mean, he was very well established in his profession, and he was a Marxist to the core. And when Pol Pot rose to prominence there in the whole Khmer Rouge and the Cambodian communist revolution over that absolute bloodbath of a regime, he was so this man was so enamored of Pol Pot, he was so thrilled, just in love with the man and his policies and what he was doing, that he wrote about him, talked him up, praised him, and he actually received an invitation to go visit Pol Pot in in Cambodia and interview him, I guess, either interview him or talk with him. And so he went, and long story short, because the details are a bit fuzzy, I think something happened in his fanboy adoration of Pol Pot, something happened in the conversation that I guess did not go well. And the dude was shot and killed later that night over there. He died in Cambodia. They killed him. This man who was so in love with Marxist ideology and so in love with practical communism and just thought that Pol Pot was the man. He ended up dying over there by violence, and almost certainly by Pol Pot's orders, although I think Pol Pot claimed that he didn't give that order. But because somebody like that would never lie.
It was
So
also there was also another part of the game where people would you could be disappeared from the game.
there. Oh, that's classic. But what was the name of it? Like oligarchy or something?
No, it was called Communopoly. Yeah, they called it that. I mean, what are you going to call it? I'm sure there's 101 names you could do. Oh, there was another one where if you went to jail, you could rat on somebody and get out of jail and switch places with them.
Oh my goodness, this game sounds like a blast. It really does. I mean, Monopoly itself can be pretty cutthroat and scary, but can you imagine actually playing this with some folks that are just out for blood?
I don't know. I would have to throw like instead of property and stuff, I would like try to do something like 5-year plan or whatever. And if you can make your 5-year plan, that
Your
would work.
great leap forward.
Yeah. Right, exactly. If you could make the 5-year plan, then you could put a DACA on a property. You can either get a DACA or a sauna. Sauna would be the house, the DACA would be the hotel.
Right,
Right?
right,
And so
right.
depending on which achievement you got, that would determine, and so like the properties would be when you land on the properties, I don't know, I guess I don't I'd have to think about it, but I mean there's certainly many opportunities to figure out a way to rewrite the game to where, instead of it being your money, it's more like your budget for your plan, right?
Okay. Your planned
Yeah.
economy, right?
Yeah, and so like maybe you can like get closer to the 5-year plan by buying inferior materials for whatever you're building,
Oh,
right? And
yes, especially for like construction,
yeah, so if you
like
have
the
like a
Chinese.
construction project or whatever, and each one of the properties would be like milestones towards a plan, right? So you would be working on like trying to accomplish a 5-year plan. That's how, like the brown properties would be, I don't know. The two blue properties would be like basically established NKVD or maybe the green ones would be build the Kremlin.
Right.
Or build Chernobyl would be one of them, one
Right.
of the maybe like Kentucky or the red ones or the yellow ones could be build Chernobyl. And that's your 5-year plan that you're trying to finish. They wouldn't be called properties, they'd be called 5-year plans. And
There
then
you
I don't
go.
know, it just you tell me, right? So oh man, there's so much room in that to explore. But the trouble is it would get too complicated. The real goal would be to stay alive. The real goal would be to stay alive.
Well, stay alive and oh goodness, how would you factor in like jockeying for position
Yeah, exactly. Right. Jockeying for power,
and
for
just
position.
going over the top in your vocal support for the fearless leader
Correct, yeah.
and well, and then therein you acquire, so maybe you don't even do currency, maybe you do like you do social credit like they're doing in China.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I mean, you could factor that in there too and actually have a dual track communopoly on this of hard currency as well as social credit. And if your social credit gets too low, it like guts
Your
it guts
program,
your finances
right?
and
The government can come along and seize whatever project you're working
Oh
on and give it to someone
yes.
else.
And you know there's got to be a gulag in there
Oh yeah,
somewhere.
that would be jail, right? We'll send you to the gulag, right?
Oh my
Oh
goodness.
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder if there's any ending. Well, there's only like two endings. You either become the premier or
Right.
you face a firing squad.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh my word.
Yeah,
That's just dark.
you become unalived
Yeah, yep.
or disappeared. You're not part of history anymore.
Sure
We
enough.
take your
Sure
part we
enough.
take your piece from the board game and we don't let anyone else use it ever again.
I just pulled up so a few minutes ago I pulled up Gab's AI
Okay.
and I just typed in there really quick. Just as you were starting to talk about the Communopoly, I just typed in there random subject for a podcast, and in nothing flat, it cranked out 10 rather controversial topics
Okay.
from 1 to 10. The Great Replacement, fact or fiction. Number 2, DEI, diversity or discrimination against whites. Number three, the fall of the dollar. Is Bitcoin the future? Oh, I'd love to talk about that because I don't know anything about it. Never did. Never understood Bitcoin. Anyway,
Yeah.
number four, transgenderism versus reality. Can biology be denied?
Okay.
Five is COVID vaccines.
Oh, wow.
Six is Israel's influence. Seven is race and IQ, the taboo science they want banned. That's a dangerous subject right
Yeah,
there.
that's
And then
seriously
eight is
dangerous.
Christian values versus modern wokeism, and then abortion, when does life begin, and then the myth of white privilege. So it's like every one of these subjects is politically charged, like with a nuke. And
Okay,
oh
so
man.
look, so this is one thing. This is something, once you start playing around with AI, you realize this. You have to like add to the prompt something
Yes.
that causes it to reach outside of the regular, right? So like if you
Right.
say, give me the top 10 controversial things to talk about on a podcast, you're gonna get the run of the mill, right? But
Right.
if you said, give me 10 topics that are controversial or that are odd or whatever to talk on a podcast that no one else would think of, that causes that machine to get creative. That's the whole thing behind generative AI. The whole concept behind generative AI is the creativity part, that it just
Yes.
comes up with these wild, outlandish ideas. And yeah, if you keep it grounded in a certain area, it'll stay in that little playground. But the real deal is when you can push it outside of the boundaries, right? It's like, give me five hustles to make money that no one else has thought of, that have nothing to do with physical work, right? You play around with the prompt and you get it to, leap outside of the norm. And it can get pretty creative. It can get pretty creative. I've been doing Grok lately. I've been paying for Clock. I dropped Copilot because
Okay.
did I tell you about this?
I think you.
I asked Copilot to make me a image of a hacker with a bandit mask on his face, like the black scarf handkerchief.
Sure,
And it was
sure.
like, we can't do that. We're not allowed to do that. And I said, you can't make it. I even asked, I even got incredulous with it. I'm like, you're telling me? And I was like, nope, we cannot do that. I said, no
All
worries.
right.
So then I went over to Microsoft to drop my account. And I said, and I went over to Grok and I tried it out on Grok and it worked just fine. I said, okay,
Right.
I'm paying for Grok.
Grok will work with you. Grok will work with you because it, I mean, that's what's coming out of X. Another one that'll work with you is, well, Aria. That's the one that Gab makes. And that one's pretty good. I like Aria. And in fact, through Gab's AI interface, they give you access. They give you a list of featured agents, including Qwen3, two different versions of ChatGPT, which I've never messed with, Llama 4, Grok 3, Gemini 2.5 Pro, Perplexity, DeepSeek, Claude Sonnet, and then there's a more or less generic image generator in there. But I think
Yeah,
another one is, what's that?
Dolly. Dolly's the
Okay.
run-of-the-mill image generator.
Gotcha. Well, I went ahead and I threw into, I think it's Aria anyway. Yeah, I threw into Aria exactly what you said. Give me 10 topics for a podcast no one else would think of. And in a second, it kicked out. Here's the 10 it gave me. You want to hear them?
Yeah. I mean, as
Okay,
long
from
as
one.
it's family friendly, I know you're gonna do that, so.
So I got The Lost Tribes of Europe, What Happened to the White Working Class? Two, the hidden history of Christian persecution under communism. The satanic roots of modern art. Oh goodness.
I'll tell you,
Well,
it gets creative. He digs.
I'm gonna skip number four just
Yep,
because
go
I
ahead.
don't want to put
You
that
don't even
this in
have to
family
preface it. Go
friendly.
ahead.
Yep. The forbidden science of ethnobotany.
Ethnobotany.
How indigenous plant knowledge is suppressed by big pharma. Okay, that sounds like it might be a thing. The untold story of black slave owners in America.
Yuck.
Black slave owners
Yeah.
in America. The Vatican's Secret War Against Traditional Catholicism, The Rise of Bug Men, How Urbanization Weakens Masculinity.
Bug men.
I don't, that term is new to me. The
Yeah.
concept is not, the term is.
Yeah.
Oh man, that just reminded me of something. But anyway, the Jewish role in the African slave trade, and why are so many mass shooters in SSRIs? The link between psychiatric drugs and violent outbursts. So those are the 10 that it, or 9 of the 10 that it kicked out to me when I asked for something unconventional.
Yeah, right,
But
exactly.
that one about how urbanization weakens masculinity, that
Yeah.
sounds like it'd be a
Okay,
fascinating
so
one to
that now
dive
this is what
into.
you do. Then you say, "Can let's explore option number five or whatever it was, which whatever
All right,
number it
let's try
was."
that.
Yeah,
Let's
so
try
go ahead.
that.
Yeah, go ahead and do
Let's
that.
explore. This is fun with, this is the fun with AI episode, I
Fun with
guess.
AI today.
Let's explore topic number, which one was that? Number 8.
There you
Okay,
go.
boom. Let's see what it does.
Yeah.
Come on, Arya. Oh, I've reached the limit of logged out messages.
Are
Oh, why
you
didn't you tell me?
kidding me?
Oh, goodness. All right, hold on.
Log in.
My word. And I can't believe I didn't think of that.
It's all right, man. It's totally cool. We're having
All right,
fun, man.
come
It's
on.
all good.
Definitely,
Yes,
definitely. All right, let's
this is
log
what
in.
I'm aiming for, you know. I don't mind getting serious talking about something, but you know, when you lack interest, when it's like you're just talking about stuff and you're fighting yourself to come up with a thought or an idea, or worse, you start rolling into pontification. I'm like, oh, I don't want that. Nobody wants to hear that, you know. Let's keep it lighthearted, keep it fun, and you know, maybe
Sure.
share something encouraging. I really love what you had to say about conference, you know. It's just only good reports, you know, good reports.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how many times the devil is just determined to accentuate the negative. Just put a
Indeed.
spotlight on it.
Well, and then I mean that speaks even to personality types right there.
I was drilling Grok yet a couple of days ago about effective door-to-door evangelism. And he came up with some really great ideas, strategies and stuff. I said, give me some examples of other, you know, organizations that do door-to-door evangelism, what makes them successful, you know. And he came up with a lot of things that you know, once you see them, you're like, yeah, that's obvious, but you know, they're not obvious until you see them, right?
Right.
Because they even talked about coordinating what you wear with your team member. So, like, if you're going out with someone, and then they talked about wearing softer colors, right? Because they said that when you wear hard colors, it affects your approach with people. So you should like focus on pastels and stuff, and just.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm serious, bro. It was really interesting, some of the ideas that came out, you know, of that exploration. I
Well,
have really
I'm
been
not
getting
gonna
into
get
it.
away with wearing pastels, but
Well, you
I
know what
mean,
I mean. Or khaki or something, you know,
yeah, earth
off
tones or
white or
something like
whatever,
that's
but
what they
still
used to
light
call them.
colors.
I got you. I got you. As opposed to walking up like in your hard black,
Yeah, with your red
you
power
know.
tie on.
Yes, goodness. You look like a state level representative hustling for votes. I got you. Okay, so check it out.
Yeah, I'm
So
listening.
I logged in and I asked it to elaborate on that subject, the rise of bug men and urbanization weakening masculinity. And this thing just kicked out a definition in 7 subpoints. So I'll read it to you from top to bottom. The concept of bug men refers to the phenomenon where modern urban men are increasingly passive, conformist, and lacking in traditional masculine virtues. This decline is driven by several factors tied to urbanization and progressive societal shifts. One, feminine. Now, I'm not going to read all the descriptions. I'm just going to give you the headlines,
Yeah, go for it.
or the bullet points. One is the feminization of society. Two is comfort and decadence. Oh man, I would elaborate even on that first one, not just the feminization of society, but even of the church. But that's what we'll get into that maybe. Comfort and decadence. Three is corporate and bureaucratic control. Four is destruction of male spaces. I can speak to that. Five is pharmaceutical and hormonal disruption. That's a real thing, yes. Anti-male media and education is number six. And number seven is sexual market decline. Okay, and then it gives me a concluding paragraph. The results, the result is a generation of bug men, quote unquote bug men,
Okay.
physically soft, politically compliant, spiritually hollow. They lack the resilience, honor, and warrior ethos that build civilizations, traits now systematically suppressed by the modern urban world. This is a huge subject. Like you could,
You could
this
explore
isn't
that for
like
a
a
long
one
time.
episode. That is not even a one
No,
episode thing.
it's
These
not.
like you could have a whole multi, like your entire, an entire
A
podcast could be
series, yeah. You could,
just
yeah, and a
about
podcast in
these.
and of itself, right? Exactly.
Oh my
Not that I
word.
would want to, but
No, I just think it'd be far too depressing.
listen to some of these, okay? So I went back in my history, and because I was doing this exploration on evangelism, right? I said, what, so I asked, I said, what are some common objections to an invitation to church, and how to deal with them, right? So, objection one, I'm not religious. I don't believe in God. He said, why they might say this, they may be atheist, agnostic, just uninterested in organized religion. How to respond? First, acknowledge their perspective. I totally respect that everyone has their own beliefs. Now, I don't know if I agree with that, but you could say, I understand you have your own beliefs, and you're a human being, you have the right to think what you want. Share a non-religious reason to attend church. Now, see, some of these you don't agree with, right? But I mean, you could to a degree or whatever. They're saying to tell people that church is about community or whatever. I don't agree with that, right? You don't have to agree with what they're saying, right? So that's their first one there. But you could. It does talk about something else about like maybe inviting people to like cookouts or something or whatever. So let's go to number two. Didn't really get a whole lot from number one. Okay. Number two, I've had bad experiences with churches. Why? Past encounters with judgmental congregations, rigid rules, blah, 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 blah. How to respond? I'm really sorry you went through that. Not all churches are the same, and I get why you'd feel hesitant. Highlight what's different. I go to a, I, the church I go to focuses on being inclusive and supportive. Offer low pressure alternative. If a service feels like too much, come and join our cookout or whatever. I'm too busy. Sunday mornings don't work for me. And then it's like, tell them you got a, alternate schedule. They always, like this, like first off, break the
Don't break
tension, right?
right.
Don't be aggressive, right? Oh, okay. Well, I see where you're coming from. I can see how you would think that way or whatever. And then, but don't just like, well, okay, I guess you can't come, so we'll just talk, bye. Whatever. I know times are tight. Sometimes an hour of connection and reflection can change that. So, but this prompts you to ask other questions, right? So like after they had gone through all these objections and kind of made options to do this, this is what I roll at Grok. I said, can you offer some simple psychology as to why these suggestions work, right? And then the number one says, acknowledge and validating concerns, empathy and active listening. Psychological principle, empathy and validation reduce defensiveness and build trust. When people feel heard and understood, they're less likely to feel judged or threatened, which opens them up to dialogue. See, that is valuable information right there, right? Why it works. Objections often come from fear, past hurt, or discomfort. By saying, I totally get why you feel that way, you activate the reciprocity principle. People are more likely to listen to you if you show respect for their perspective. So, you can be respectful to somebody. You don't have to agree with them, but you can say, well, I could see why you would think that way. I have even thought that way myself in the past or whatever, right? You don't
Absolutely.
want to dismiss what they're saying, because when you just start dismissing what they're saying, well, you don't know what you're talking about, and if you'd come to our church, you would no different or whatever, you
Well,
know.
when that's when you're becoming adversarial.
Yeah.
So if I can just grab hold of that,
No, please. That's why we're here.
the whenever we onboard a new team member into our churches, I call it the organized outreach. You know, basically when they join the soul winning team. If it's more than one or two, and even if it's just one on one, because sometimes it's just one new person, decides to jump in and become a part. What I use for a primer on the subject is I go straight to Matthew 10. I go straight to Matthew 10. That's where Jesus first gathers his disciples, and in Matthew's gospel, that's where they're first referred to as apostles. And so he gathers his disciples, and that includes Judas, by the way. And he gives them power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, et cetera, et cetera. And then he instructs them. He instructs them. And the first thing that he tells them to do is don't go into any city of the Gentiles, or don't go into the Gentiles and unto no city of the Samaritans enter, but go rather unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know what? I'm going to pull it up here so I don't. Because whenever I start to try to pull things from memory and it's more than just one or two things, I chew it all up and I don't want to do it wrong. So, Matthew 10. So, I'll read through it quickly and I'll pick it up from verse 5 where he says, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So, there's two separate instructions right there. Where to go and where not to go, and this is what you say. And then he says in verse 8, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give." So what's that? Do good and don't charge people money for it. Always be willing to do somebody a solid and don't charge them for it. Okay? Verse 9, "Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass for your purses, nor scrip for your journey, nor two coat, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat." What's that? Trust that God is going to provide you what you need to do this job. Okay? And then verse 11, "Into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come out, and when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than that city," etc. So marching through every one of these, you know, there's clear instruction there how to do this. And while the specific words that a person may say, you know, may vary from culture to culture and from period to period or whatever, you know, the tenets there, the core principle there is pretty rock solid. Go where God wants you to go. Don't go where God doesn't want you to go. And it's not that God didn't love the Samaritans or the Gentiles. It's that there's an order to these things, and you know, it needed to go to the Jews first. Jesus was Jewish. You know, the Gentiles and the Samaritans were all going to have their chance. It just wasn't, they weren't going to be the first in line. And so, and then from there, it's like, have a message. And that's where he says, as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You got to have a message, you know, have some, and what I mean, and I don't mean a 3-point outline. I mean, have something to say when you walk up to their door, you know? And in our case, our message is a message of hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. So what's that mean? That means that there's hope in Jesus Christ. Hope for what? Hope for anything. Hope for your life, hope for your soul, hope for your, and I guess, brother, forgive me, I'm doing what you said you don't want to do, and that's pontificating. And here I am, and I'm pontificating.
You're
Let, so
okay.
let me
Go
try to,
ahead. I'm listening.
I'll try to walk it back a little bit off of that. But it's, you know, we don't go out there as cult busters. We don't go out there to
Or to beat people over the head with a guy, you know, with some belief and
Yeah,
say, you better do this or else.
absolutely,
I'll let the Holy
absolutely,
Ghost do
absolutely.
that. Right, exactly.
We had a guy that just he thought, oh goodness, Give me a second.
Yeah.
He was convinced that, and this is his language, he
Yeah.
said, "I've got the gift of evangelism." I'm like,
Okay.
oh, okay. Well, first of
Warning
all,
sign
that's
number
not a
one.
right. You know, first of all, that's not a gift. That's an ordained office of ministry.
Yeah.
You know, second of all, no, you don't. But I didn't tell him that. And what this guy thought was this gift of evangelism was, in fact, just prone to argument. He was a debater. And he had a contentious spirit. And you know, I taught him. I said, "Brother, this is what we do. We lead with an invitation." And I told him why. Okay. You know, for decades, the cults were the only ones, have been pretty much the only ones that are out there that are bumping doors in neighborhoods. And so they've really kind of salted the ground when it comes to going to a door and then expounding scripture and all of that. It's, you know, and so we don't really do that. We lead with an invitation. Now, if they open up their heart there at their doorstep and ask a question or want to talk about something, then yeah, man, that might, excuse, that was a bit more casual than I intended. You know, that might be, that's your open door to talk about Jesus, you know, or put something out there or answer those objections that you brought up. You know, like, what does it say if, what are they, what do I say if they're a non-believer? How do I overcome that? Or what do they say if, well, I used to be a part of a church 20 years ago, but then the pastor ran off with the organ player. You know, that's like, that is the church version of the butler did it. I mean, that is so cliched, but unfortunately it does happen in some places, you know. And so if they open the door of their heart to something more than just, "Hey, I want to invite you to our church. We got special services coming up, or we got a promotion," or you don't say it like that, but you know, whatever. We're a family friend, you know, whatever you might tell people, not reading off a script, you know, then that's your open door to, I don't want to say preach, but if it comes off that way, whatever, that's your open door to say something more than, "We'd like to invite you to church." And so, and then there's the whole concept in there of, if that house is worthy. And that's a loaded word, because that sounds like, we actually preached about this a couple times over the last year or two. That sounds like you're being called to make a moral judgment, but that's not really what he's saying to do. Because the whole concept of Matthew 10 worthiness is whether or not someone is open to what you have to say. If they're open, they're receptive, they're like, "Tell me more." That's worthiness in this context. If they're like, "I'm not interested, y'all are weird," or, "No thanks, I don't do religion," or whatever their particular objection is. "Oh, the mountains are my church. I hate that one. I'm so tired of hearing that one. That is such a threadbare cop out, you know." It's like, no, it's not. You just like the outdoors. Nothing wrong with that. But don't go trying to spiritualize it. You know, they kick up those objections, and if you can't penetrate them, and I can't quantify the degree of effort to which someone should give, because everybody's different and it's a very individual thing. But if they kick up some objections that you cannot reasonably overcome, then you know that you're dealing with Matthew 10 unworthy.
Ah, interesting.
That's an unworthy house, because they are not interested. It's not a moral judgment you're making about their character.
Correct.
It's a judgment about the situation, you could say. This is an unworthy house because they are not interested.
It
And the
almost,
more time,
yeah.
go ahead.
I was just saying, it almost reminds me of that scene from Monty Python's The Holy Grail, where King Arthur approaches the French castle,
Oh goodness, I knew you were going there.
and he approaches the French castle, and he's like, "Hello there," whose castle is this? This is the castle of Luino
With the outrageous
Gamamar.
French accent.
Who are you from? Can't you tell this outrageous accent? You are French. Right, that is the unworthy house right there. That's
That
a grand
is.
example.
So we're looking for a
Right.
grail. Oh, we already got one.
He says he
They're
already
just
got one.
kicking up dust, and they're just muddy in the waters, and you can
Correct.
tell. And so, the new, either the new soul winner or the contentious soul winner
Yeah.
or, whatever, they'll double down.
Right. And
Yeah,
waste time with these people.
exactly, they'll let the rest of their city burn
Yeah.
while they spin their wheels, bashing their heads against that brick wall.
Right.
And
Good
so
point. That
what
is
I
an
teach
excellent
our
point.
people, what I teach our people is, don't waste your time. He said, that house is unworthy. He said, just knock, do what Jesus says, knock the, you don't have to, don't tell them that they're going to go to hell because they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear it from you, and they're not
Right.
going to believe it. They're not going to receive it.
Right.
Just do what Jesus says in your heart anyway. Knock the dust off your shoes and then move along. He says, let your peace return to you.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Yeah, that's a good
Let your
statement.
peace return to you.
Yeah.
They're not interested in what you got.
Yeah,
So
yeah, yeah.
some other soul is. And the faster you find that other soul, the better everybody is. And then you just kind of laugh it off on the. I can. Two examples of this I want to share.
Yeah.
If I'm not monopolizing this,
No,
two
that's what
examples I
we're
want to
here to
share.
listen. I'm really before you start, I'm just going to tell you, I'm totally enthralled. I'm loving what you got to say, so keep talking.
Oh, okay, yes, sir. These two examples are years apart, okay? So one of them happened in Tillicum, Washington. We were in the church in Graham, and we were part of a, we were part of one particular team, and that day we were doing Tillicum. And so we drove clear out to Tillicum, and we're out there knocking doors in Tillicum, and we meet this young woman. She's probably like 20. I mean, which to me, that's like super young. I mean, that's younger than my daughter now, though not at the time. And she was nice. She was open. She was receptive. And she's very polite, and said, I'll come. I'm interested. I'll come." And so she didn't. And so I don't remember what the time frame was, but within a fairly short amount of time after that, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, we went back to follow up with her and said, "Hey, it's us again. It's me and my wife. We just thought we'd check in on you. We missed you this Sunday." And we keep it very natural. The last thing we ever want to come off as weird culty people. And it was either the second or the third time. There wasn't a fourth. It was either the second or the third time she said, "Look, I'm just going to level with you guys. I'm an atheist. I was just trying to be nice." And so I said, well, I stood there and listened. I listened to her. She wasn't picking a fight. She wasn't even coming across like Christopher Hitchens, who actually styled himself as an anti-theist, not just an atheist. I listened to what she said. She'd gone to church when she was a kid, and at some point she just decided, I don't believe in any of this. And so she said that, and I listened. I did not judge her. I did not condemn her. Certainly didn't pick up any stones and start throwing. What I said to her was this. I said, in so many words, I probably said, "Well, I appreciate your honesty. Thank you for, being forthright." And what I told her, when your own reasoning fails you, and it will. And I didn't put this out there in any way that was forward or aggressive. I spoke very rationally, very reasonably to her. I said, when that fails you, and eventually it will, you've got our card. Give us a call.
Leave the
Yeah,
door open.
and I just left it at that. And she was totally chill. We were chill. Everybody was chill. I just want, because at that point, all you can do, the best you can do, is plant a seed.
Yeah, leave on a positive note, right?
Exactly. And then the door is still open, the bridge is not burned. Because there are tons of atheists that have been delivered out of that
Correct.
delusion. C.S. Lewis was one of them. My
Right.
goodness, C.S.
Yeah.
Lewis himself, as well as others. And so that's the first encounter. And then we moved along. Now, years later, it was probably our first or second year here in Cheyenne. We're out on a Saturday. We're doing our door-to-door outreach. And we walk up. There's this guy. I want to be careful how I even tell this story. This guy and his family. Now, it used to be you could just assume that it was his wife, but anymore, they've just been boyfriend and girlfriend for 25 years, and they have five kids. You know what I mean? He's just pulling up into his driveway. He and his wife are getting out of the car and making their way inside or whatever. So I'm approaching. I think my wife was with me. I don't think I was partnered up with another brother. I think I was with my wife. And so I approach and I just kind of called out real friendly, very casual. I said, "Knock, knock." And this guy was already hostile, like his blood was already hot. And I couldn't tell that until he turned on me. And I just started to tell him, "Hey, I'm Pastor Snyder, and with New Testament Christian Church, we just wanted, I don't even think I got the invitation out of my mouth." And this dude lays into me like a chainsaw. And you can tell the difference between just verbal anger and somebody who is ready to put a fist in your face. And this guy was the latter. He was that. And I found myself standing face to face with this guy on his inclined driveway in the face of his barely contained wrath and who knows what his particular beef or grief was. And I was so overwhelmed by the completely irrational nature of his hatred. I mean, I've seen a lot
Yeah.
over a lot of years. I had
Right.
never been face to face with that in somebody like this. And I thought, this guy is actually going to put me on the ground. And so I did the hardest thing I've ever done, or probably one of the five hardest things I've ever done in my life. I turned and walked away. And I forced myself to pray for him in my heart.
Yeah.
Because the
Wow.
old
Wow.
me,
Yeah. Wanted to come out with a vengeance. Yeah.
back in the 90s, I worked as a debt collector, and that is a nasty piece of work. It's a
It is.
necessary piece of work, but it's nasty.
Yeah.
And that side of my personality still exists under lock and key. I keep it in a cage.
Right.
And it
Wanted expunged from your record.
oh my goodness, yes. I mean, I repented of that line of work clear back in like 1999. But that old part of me wanted to come out. It really did. But you just can't do that. You
No.
just can't do that.
No.
One, it isn't Christ. Two, what would it have done? It would have validated every shred of that man's hatred.
Right.
And no way was I going to do that. And so it was a kind of self-crucifixion to kill that spirit, to kill that urge to rise up and
Yeah,
answer,
exactly. Right.
what this guy was saying. And but I've, although I did have, okay, so that the victory of it was that none, I didn't let any of that happen. I just walked away and left that man behind in the dust from off my shoes.
Yeah.
Walking away and then further crucify the flesh by forcing yourself to pray for him, not against him. I prayed for him. However, that old debt collector spirit in me was a little bit gratified to overhear his wife tear into him like a chainsaw on the front step at the door for being such a horrible human being to a couple of strangers that walked up to him. This some objections there's no overcoming. You just walk away.
Yeah.
But some objections, they're paper thin. They're paper thin. They hold no water at all. And you can easily, with just a word or two, say something that just sort of pushes back just enough for them to know,
Yeah.
hey, I'm not a pushover, and I really am here because I care about you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No, it really, and even a lot of the advice that, some of the dialogue that came out of the research was, you have to build trust with people, and to build trust with people,
Trust
they
with
have
people, they have
to
to genuinely.
genuinely believe that you care about them.
Yes, amen.
Right? Because if you just come off as somebody who's on an agenda or on a mission, that's transparent. People see right through that, But
Yes.
if you can sincerely look at, I always, there's a scripture that always comes to mind when the rich young ruler met Jesus, and there was that little tiny little tidbit that was wedged in there where it said, and Jesus loved him,
Yes,
right?
yes,
And
yes.
which blows away all Calvinists everywhere in the universe. Would God send a man to hell that he loved? Right? Come on, Bob, Esau have the Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Well,
Oh, I have a meme to share with you in a minute.
Jesus loved the rich young ruler and he went away sorrowful. Anywho,
Yes.
share your meme and then we'll wrap it up.
Oh, right, we're at an hour, aren't we? Well, it was definitely an anti-Calvinist meme, but I thought it was one of the best ones ever. It was a picture of Jesus standing there talking to a young boy, young child, and saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I hated you."
Yeah.
I thought, oh my goodness, I think that's a bullseye. I think that's a
Yeah.
bullseye.
What about many
And
are called, but few are chosen?
oh yeah, they love that one. I've preached on that one and tried to clarify that before. It's like,
Yeah.
that because the Calvinist way of thinking implies that, God calls everybody and then everybody shows up and then he just selects a few and then casts everybody else into the lake of
Yeah.
fire. When
Yeah,
the
that's
truth is
baloney. The
that
dude chose not to wear a wedding garment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he chose not to wear the wedding garment because it wasn't important enough to him.
That's
The truth
right.
is,
He didn't take it seriously.
the truth is that everyone who's called, who answers,
Right.
they're gonna be chosen. But what does he say? God, he doesn't want anyone to perish.
Yeah,
He
oh,
wants
here's another one. You ready? Have
Go
I
ahead.
not chosen all of you and one is a deceiver?
Yeah, one of you is a devil.
Haven't I not chosen you all and one of you's a devil? Well, man, if Jesus can't even choose you to be saved, then who has hope?
Oh, we'll have to have a whole episode on this
Oh,
whole
dude, man,
subject
I don't even
alone.
want to go off on the tangent of Calvinism right now. It's one of the biggest baloney garbage doctrines ever.
Chris Hunt, I think is his name. I think I might have mentioned this to you before. Years ago, I don't know what he believes. I don't know what his theology is, but I know he's not Calvinist. He wrote an open letter. He called it
Oh,
Dear
yeah, I think you
John.
told me about that, yeah.
Yeah, an open letter to John Calvin. It's lengthy, and I thought it was just spot on.
Yeah,
It's
well, maybe
definitely
we'll
worth
talk
looking up.
about
I
that
think you can
next
still find
time.
it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You
But
got it.
we're going to have to start having a segment on our show of what does AI have to say?
Yeah. Oh, yes. We'll have to keep AI on as a guest.
Yeah. Let's see what AI has to say. We might even let him talk.
Yeah, maybe we'll rotate out different models.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's awesome.
All right, brother, I appreciate you.
You bet. I appreciate you too. God bless you. We'll talk next week.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.